From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network, Dr. Richard Masland from the Massachusetts General Hospital's Department of Neurosurgery is interviewed by Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling about a gene therapy technique that restored vision to mice that were functionally blind.
Dr. Richard Masland is the Charles A. Pappas Professor of Neuroscience at Harvard Medical School and a neurophysiologist in neurosurgery at the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. His research focuses on local cellular interactions within the retina. Dr. Masland, a report in the October 14th issue of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences describes how you and your colleagues used gene therapy to restore vision to mice with retinal degeneration. How was this study designed, and what were you able to demonstrate?
Well, the study design is really pretty simple. We used an adeno-associated virus as a vector. The goal was to transduce retinal neurons to make them express the melanopsin protein. Melanopsin is a light-sensitive protein, and so that, in principle, should have made those cells responsive to light. And so the animal could use that information to pass simple visual tests. The tests were pupillary light response. The normal tendency of mice that can see to stay out of the light, because that's where the cat might be, and a simple discrimination between light and dark.
Now, you've discussed this a bit, but melanopsin is usually produced in a subset of cells that are involved with establishing circadian rhythms, but not with vision. Once again, why was melanopsin chosen to do an experiment on vision?
Well, I think the simple reason was that there's nothing special about melanopsin that limits it to being used for circadian rhythms. The fact that it's in the circadian rhythm circuit is really more a factor of the circuit than of the ability of the molecule to sense light. So we chose melanopsin because we knew it to be a light-sensing protein that can drive neurons, and we put it in neurons that are not necessarily part of the circadian rhythm circuitry.
Can you talk a bit more about the resultant levels of melanopsin expression in the ganglion cells and what these results indicated? Also, how were you able to determine the previously blind mice were now able to see?
We got melanopsin expression in about 10% of all of the retinal ganglion cells. The retinal ganglion cells are the cells that project from the retina to the brain. It's their axons that bundle together and make up the optic nerve. So we got around 10% of the cells expressing melanopsin. The amount per cell we don't know, obviously, but it certainly is in the neighborhood of the amount that's in the native melanopsin cells as judged by immunocytochemistry. So we got, you know, a pretty big increase in the number of cells. And how we figured out that they could see, the initial thing was just the pupillary light response. If you shine a light, if you dark adapt an animal, you sit in it, you and the animal sit together in a dark room. If you now shine a light in the eye of the animal, the pupil constricts. It's wide open in the dark in order to catch any light that's around, and then it constricts when it sees light. These retinal degenerate mice can't respond to ordinary light intensities in that way, and the treated mice did. So that was the initial thing. Then after that, we had a test where you put a mouse in a box with a light over it, and you give them a dark refuge. You basically give them a little hole in the wall that lets them into a dark box. And normal mice will go into the dark box because they don't like being out in the light. The RD, retinal degenerate mice, don't care because they can't really see light at ordinary intensities. And the treated mice spent more time in the dark than in the light the way they should. And then the final test was an old-fashioned discrimination alley, just like in Psychology 1. The mice go down an alley and they need to choose the bright panel or the dark panel. If they choose the bright panel, they get a reward. And the treated mice can do that.
You mentioned earlier that you used an AAV vector to do the study. Why that particular mode of gene therapy?
The reason we use that vector is that it's so well established for gene therapy in the eye. Folks have been working on that for at least a decade. Bill Houseworth is down in Florida is the leader on that. It's a very safe virus. It causes no known human or animal disease. And it's passed all the safety tests. It's, in fact, in use now in two different human clinical trials for correcting problems in the retina. So that whole vector problem, the whole sort of safety issue, seems to be pretty well solved. Of course, in the eye is a great place for gene therapy because you don't have to do a systemic injection. You don't have to flood the whole body with it. You just inject it into the eye. So that gives us a kind of extra safeguard when gene therapy is concerned.
How might this proof-of-principle research study be used to repair blindness in people with conditions like retinitis pigmentosa and macular degeneration?
Well, we have a couple things, really one big thing that we would probably like to do before we try it in people. I mean, basically, we could try it in people tomorrow. But the limitation that I refer to is that the melanopsin molecule responds to light very slowly. There's a moderately long latency before the cell starts to fire after you shine light in the animal's eye. That's probably not too big a problem, but a bigger problem is that if you put the light on for, let's say, half a second and then turn the light off, the melanopsin-driven cell keeps on responding to light for often several seconds. And that would be a real hindrance if you're trying to see. Otherwise, we're basically in pretty good shape. I think we get enough cells transduced that someone would have vision that would certainly be useful if you were densely blind. You'd be able to navigate. You'd be able to walk around with that level of vision. You certainly wouldn't be able to read the fine print, but it would be a real aid. And so if we can solve that timing problem, I think it's something that would be ready to contemplate a clinical trial in humans.
Okay, so picking up on the theme, my last question is, what additional projects do you have planned in mind to advance this research before taking it to human clinicals?
Well, the big goal right now is to figure out how to make the response shorter. I have my coworker out at the Salk Institute is Sachin Panda, who is an expert on intracellular signaling and a very good molecular biologist, better than I am. And together we're trying to figure out how to do something that will shorten the response of the melanopsin-driven cells. And I think if we can do that, if we can get it down into the range of timing nearer what a normal cell does, I think at that point we or somebody else should try and start thinking about a human clinical trial.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus, saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.